Welcome to the Impact Vest podcast, where innovation, sustainability, and technology converge to shape a better future. I'm Aisha Williams, founder and CEO of Impact Vest. In each episode, we bring you bold ideas, expert insights, and real-world solutions from changemakers across industries. Whether you're an entrepreneur, policymaker, investor, or just passionate about impact, this podcast is for you. So let's dive in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Happy New Year. We're here at Q2 Roundtable, and we are profiling some great founders and CEOs and speaking about topics that are very relevant to what we see in kind of the wider business sectors here. So the topic of our roundtable today is innovative strategies, AI implementation, and energy demands. And we have great CEOs here that will speak about it in terms of their own businesses and the future outlooks in their businesses. And I'm really excited to get started. So let's start with you, Oleg Benga, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself and your company.
Good evening. My name is Oleg Benga. I'm the CEO of Calibotics and Zolani Health. Calibotics is a robotics company, and Zolani Health is a health tech company. And so I think in the health aspect, we've been doing a lot of things on AI. So I think it's from that angle, I can speak today, we're going to AI implementation in health sector. Happy to be here.
All right, great. Yes, thanks for joining us today. And Nayasha, can you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Thanks, Aisha, and good evening to everyone. I'm happy to be here. I think this is my second CEO roundtable, and I'm delighted to be here. So I represent a company called Solar Pro Energy Africa. We specialize in the rollout of energy solutions to homes, schools, hospitals, and public institutions. We are particularly interested, I think, in this topic because AI is actually finding itself, space in our work. If we look at some of the systems that we are now selling, we actually use AI-enabled tools, either to get the customers as well as to ensure that the systems are working properly. So thank you for having me here.
Yes, thank you for being here on your second roundtable, right? So hence it's great. We're really happy to have you here, Nayasha. And Fidelis, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Fidelis, and I'm the founder and CEO of Sunplugged Energy. We're a business operating out of Harare, Zimbabwe, and we have operations in Zambia and Malawi. We distribute renewable energy solutions, specifically solar technology, to businesses and urban residential customers on credit pay-as-you-go and lease-to-own models. So we've been looking at ways to implement AI into our operations, and we've started doing that from the credit scoring up until to monitoring and collection of data from usage data from our customers, and also creating a universal distributed power plant using AI. And we've already started that. So this discussion is something that really speaks to what we're actually doing. And I'm very happy to be here.
Great. Thank you very much, Fidelis. We're happy to have you here. So when we're speaking about innovative strategies in here in 2025, we've seen the rapid advancement of AI and the changing landscape in terms of energy. So when we speak about AI implementation and energy demands, how do you see this in relation to your business and how you're scaling your businesses? And let's start with you, Oleg Benga. How do you see AI implementation and rising energy demands as how it relates to your business?
Thank you very much, Aisha. I think for the most part, I'm going to speak about the AI particularly, because just like the other two gentlemen have mentioned, AI is a tool, an approach to things nowadays that can solve problems that we weren't able to solve before. So it can, enhance productivity. It can help us to make sense of data. And I think in Africa, we have a unique opportunity to make use of AI in ways that other parts of the world probably won't. And it's not because our AI is better, it's that our problems are unique in Africa. And we're beginning to have a set of entrepreneurs who are taking on those problems squarely. We have problems in education, agriculture, health tech, energy, manufacturing. And a lot of startups are beginning to realize that with the help of AI, they can create tools and services that can solve problems in ways that weren't previously possible. And to give one example of that, so in the healthcare sector, one of the biggest problems we have in Africa is the brain drain of doctors and medical personnel out of Africa. It's a really serious problem. December last year, I was speaking with one of the administrators at one of the biggest teaching hospitals in Nigeria. They were having this hiring exercise, and they needed to hire maybe about 100 doctors. They needed 30 in just surgery. They needed neurologists, cardiologists, the whole works. Only 15 doctors applied. Like, it's terrible. Most of them have gone to the UK, and that's been accelerated after COVID. And even where I stay here in Addis Ababa, there's this cardiologist that I was consulting with on a project. And she was telling me about her availability. And I was like, how so? She works in a government hospital. She's the only cardiologist in that government hospital. As a result, she can only see the most chronic of cardiac patients. So this is the problem that we have across Africa, not just in Nigeria and Ethiopia. And a lot of people think, well, there's no solution. But nowadays, a lot of entrepreneurs, they're beginning to say, look, we need to solve this problem. All right. And so AI is a tool for us, that young entrepreneurs are using to solve problems unique to Africa. All right. I mean, a lot of us don't have political power, political power to make policy changes, but we do know the power of technology. And, so what I'll say generally is, a lot of Africans are not just adopting AI because AI is a fad. They are adopting it because it offers certain opportunities to solve problems unique to us that people in other parts of the world might not understand. So I think, generally speaking, AI offers that kind of opportunity.
Yeah, and I think your point that AI may be kind of leveling the playing field, as we say, right? And so it provides opportunities that may have not existed before. And I think it's really interesting what you said about the usage of AI on the African continent and how it's really probably being used differently and in ways that are really allowing entrepreneurs and business owners to have more agency, right, over their business and what they're scaling. And we're probably just going to continue to see more of that. And then as that continues to grow, it'll be interesting to see what the effects of that are just in global business, right? If you have a tool that's really advancing quite rapidly that's able to be region and country specific, that changes the whole business landscape. And I think that's what we're seeing today, right? So it is going to be really interesting. Maybe when we meet for our 2026 roundtable, we'll have some more to say. I'm sure there'll
Yeah,
be something else
definitely.
that's here. We're going to see a rapidly changing business landscape globally. And what do you think, Nayasha, about this? Do you see the same usage of AI within your business and its usage particularly on the African continent?
Yes, I think Olubanka actually is on point. It's inevitable that we find ourselves in this situation where we cannot actually do much without AI. It's going to become part of our lives. In fact, it is already part of our lives. If we can tell you that we are selling solar systems that are already able to look at how someone is using their power and be able to actually switch between the grid, between the solar, between the battery, based on, some models and understanding or learning how the system is being used. It's actually showing that yes, we have moved, so fast, so quickly. We are also seeing probably an opportunity, I think, to actually use AI to enable, what would call, dumb systems or systems that are not actually capable of doing what AI is able to deliver today. For example, you find that a lot of inverters that we install or batteries that we install already collect a lot of data, but that data is not actually, going anywhere or being utilized anyway. So although AI is there, I think there is also the issue of collecting the data and actually making it usable. We do see the power of what this development can do. For example, the DeepSeek models that are coming out now. It's actually an arms race, if you want to call it, for the most superior technologies. I mean, we are seeing quite a lot of work around that area. I would say that in Africa, I think we have a lot of work to do and to catch up. But it's very good that we are seeing, that technology becoming more accessible. I think a lot of us, even when we started to use AI, we were just using the free ChatGPT, and then later on, we now also are subscribing to such models. I would love to see a time when we can actually develop our own language models, our own models that understand the problems that Olubanga was talking about, the unique needs that we have in Africa. I liked his example of doctors. I actually also represent an innovation hub where my company operates from, called Teka Barare, and we've got some startups that are actually also using AI, like a startup that's in our stable is called Kumba K. They are actually using AI to bring medical health care to people that ordinarily would not be, in a position to actually get treatment or help. So it's an exciting time, but a time where also we must really sharpen our tools to be able to actually embrace and use this technology to leapfrog others in terms of advancing Africa. From the space where we are operating, there's also the other issue of energy access. We now have a lot of internet access thanks to Starlink, but we still have an energy deficit, which is really painful. I think the power cuts that we experience, 18 hours, 16 hours, still then mean that the use of AI falls behind as a result of lack of power. Yeah, I think
And
that's what I can add to what Olubanga said.
Well, you brought up the topic of the day, which is DeepSeek, really proving that you can develop LLMs for much cheaper than we thought that you could, right? And so still so there is hope. There is hope that, like you said, Nyasha, it is an AI race, and there probably will be a day that the cost of LLMs will lower to the point that businesses can create their own. And then, like you said, the customization of those LLMs is really going to radically transform the way we do business, right? And Fidelis, do you see the same in your business? And especially now, the very recent news of DeepSeek and the potential for LLMs becoming really seeing the cost lower to a point that businesses can create their own, and then they can be customized in terms of AI implementation, right? We're really right in the news cycle here, where we just saw it happen a couple of days ago. What do you see the consequences for your business?
Thanks, Aisha. Our business, we do from sourcing up until the customer pays us the last mile. There are many things that require innovation or improvement because from the way we did business before, we could do better, right? So at the same time, we want to be traditional about how we preserve or we get our customers to come on board. We operate in an environment where it's difficult to understand. We're a credit business, so it's difficult for us to get a clear picture of if a customer is going to be good enough to pay us. That is the first point of contact where we get our AI from. So where we need AI to intervene. So there we use AI-driven credit check. So this is what we have started implementing, AI-driven credit check. It's not been something that was easy for our business because we were a company that was using the traditional credit check, which resulted in a lot of default. But we have started implementing AI-driven credit checks, which has actually improved our collection rates up to about 85% collection rate, coming from about 50%. This is something that AI has managed to do for us. And with the emergence of DeepSeek and other different AI and making it even cheaper, it's good for us because we are looking to also innovate and also put AI into many of our operations up until we're not replacing human beings, but we're trying to make it easier for us to get our products to the last mile. And we're also trying to find ways we can remain sustainable at the same time serving our customers. So AI has managed to do a lot of things for us, and I think it's something that African or companies operating out of these least developed countries need to look into incorporating AI into their business. It might seem as if it's expensive, but in the long run, you look at how it has managed to solve the problems that you are facing. I'll give you another example. We do remote monitoring and maintenance of our systems, right? So for us to do remote monitoring and maintenance, the traditional way, the manual way, it costs us. We don't see the problems beforehand, but we've started using IoT sensors where they tell us way before a problem is coming that this system is going to fail because of it. And we proactively address those, or if a customer is misusing a system, we proactively engage a customer so that we don't have many of these. And it has reduced our costs drastically, thereby increasing our profitability as a company. So I believe that AI is something that each and every company, we in whichever sector, we need to adopt into our business model.
And do you see widespread adoption of AI in businesses in Africa, or what is the current perception of the AI implementation? Is the perception that is it replacing jobs? Is it beneficial for businesses? So what's the perception of the actual implementation of AI?
I believe that at this moment, many businesses are not yet welcoming to AI. I'll not talk about many, but I'll talk about something that I've personally experienced. And most businesses are using AI as a check just to get responses from you, just write proposals and do a lot of different things with it. But we're not seeing the actual importance of what AI will do for our businesses. And this is something that I think will take a little bit of time for businesses in Africa to fully adopt AI, but it won't be as much as when new emerging technologies were coming. This time it will be a bit faster, but I believe that it will take time because businesses in Africa, most of us, we think we don't need AI at this point because our businesses will be doing it this way, but we actually need it. And that is something that I think whoever some of this podcast is something that is very good because it then also conscientizes the entrepreneurs around the world that we need AI in our businesses in as much as it's a bit on the expensive side at the moment, but we need it so that it improves most of our processes. And workers are still thinking that it's going to replace them. But I think it's a tool that is going to also make our lives easier for workers, technicians, salespeople, understanding where to sell, what are the patterns, what's going on in the world, and stuff like that. So it's something that also improves productivity within each and every company. So it's something that we need to adopt as businesses. And I think it's something that needs to be pushed very hard.
Yeah, and how do you think it can be pushed? So if we're speaking about AI and LLMs, the way that they learn and are trained is through data, right? So kind of the large number of businesses who are using it, the smarter it becomes. But how can it practically be implemented in businesses or presented in a way that it can be? Well, we will see in the future that the cost of implementation will probably go down. We saw that with DeepSeek, and then it'll be very easy to actually customize the LLM models in terms of language and culture, and so we'll really start to see customizable LLMs that would be really useful on the African continent. But how do you think that it can be presented to business owners that it can really be implemented in a way that it's widespread usage? And I'll go to you, Olubanga.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Fidelis. That was quite insightful. Now, this is something, I mean, this question is very interesting, all right? And I think part of the problem is a lot of people have some misunderstanding on what AI is, all right? So AI generally, of course, systems or solutions that makes machines, computers, products, processes smarter. They can do things that tends to mimic human intelligence. Generally speaking, for a business, so businesses that use AI, there are three broad categories that the benefits of AI fall into. Some benefits, maybe called crisscross, but generally three basic categories. Number one is automation of business processes. So things that you normally do, maybe to do it in a short amount of time, maybe you have so many dependencies and so many inputs. So the first benefit is automation of business processes. So those who use AI, like some of the things I think it was Nyasha that was talking about it, and even Fidelis, you know. So things like AI calculating credit scores, AI looking at your usage patterns, you know. But okay, so yes, patterns falls into the second one. Let's stick with credit score. Credit score is is a metric that is important if you want to extend facilities to users. Right, you want to know if they're good for their, if they're good for the money. So the first category is automating business processes, makes things faster, makes things easier. The second broad category is making sense of data. You have all this data and it's just there. Are there some insights that we can gain from it? All right. So what Inyasha was describing, I think it's falls into this second bucket. Now, these buckets are not absolute, they're not absolute silos, but they're categories that helps us. So a particular customer has a particular usage pattern, and that can be used for optimization, switching from grid to renewable energy, because you can imagine if it's a place like Nigeria that is very hot, right? Almost everyone use air conditioners. Now, Addis Ababa, particularly, it's cold. You can see I'm wearing this. We don't have air conditioners. We have heaters, right? So the energy, yeah. So trying to make sense of data. And when you have AI for medical analysis, it also falls into this bucket, this category, and I'll give an example. Myself and my co-founder were discussing today, and we're looking at a particular feature which is called content-based image retrieval. And we're looking at how to automatically put it into a medical image viewer. Now, what that does is this: ordinarily, if you have maybe an X-ray, all right. So you're going to look at the X-ray, the radiologist, and trying to make detection. But AI can assist that, by doing segmentation, and putting bounding boxes. But this one is a little different. How I want to implement it. What it does is, once an X-ray comes up, right, the AI will try to look at the parameters it has and compare it to the rest of the images we have before. And then it can now bring up references. And what that does is, if you treated a case similar 2 months ago, then it can easily bring up the medical report that was written for that particular one, and you can compare. Because most times the difference between an expert and a novice is nuances, right? If you have a newbie, in a particular field, let's say energy, right? He has read the books, he went to university, he's a graduate. I mean, he's good. He probably knows 95% of what Fidelis knows, but the problem is the remaining 5%, the nuances, those circumstances that will stump the newbie. That is what experts do, right? That 5% can make or break the entire system, right? So the second bucket is where you make sense of data. And then the third one is where you make customer interactions easier, your ability to serve customers. So if you look at some of these services that have been mentioned both by Yasha and Fidelis, you'll see those key things there. They're trying to make their business processes more seamless, or making sense of data, for decision making, or making life easier for the customer because the customer is king, So the use of AI falls into these categories. And a lot of organizations that are not adopting AI, they probably haven't come to this realization. When we talk about AI, what most people are thinking about are the what we call the foundation models, right? And the foundation models, those are some large AI systems, large language models that are trying to achieve what is called AGI, Artificial General Intelligence. So watch all those movies, like iRobot, Robot Uprising. Yeah, those are trying to paint the picture of AGI, Artificial General Intelligence, a robot you can talk to and can do stuff, right? Most usage of AI isn't in that direction. it's in automating business process and things like that. But we have now entered into that era of these huge AI systems, so we have the DALL-E, the ChatGPT, Google Gemini, Meta's Llama, and then you have stuff from Amazon and the recent the new kid on the block, DeepSeek, right? I mean, the most stunning thing is what they've said about the amount of money it costs. Yeah, they said it costs about $5.6 million. Meanwhile, OpenAI spent over $600 million or billion. I
Wow.
don't know. Some people are saying things like, yeah, maybe they cheated, they're trying to investigate. But the truth is, the benchmarks speak for themselves. They've tested it, So however they got there, the benchmark speaks for themselves, So most people, when they think of AI, that's the direction they go, and that's where the world is going. However, there is another kind of revolution taking place in the industry that people aren't looking at. So you have those large foundation models. The future, some people believe, and I tend to be one of them, that you're going to start having domain-specific foundation models. For it to be super useful, maybe huge foundation models that are domain-specific. And that is the area that I feel is going to benefit Africa the most, because now we have two categories of startups in Africa: those who are trying to automate their process and make money, and those who are trying to solve huge problems. Most entrepreneurs crisscross those two, so you're in between impact and profitability, right? So whenever you hear somebody is in agri-tech, education, technology, energy, those guys are crisscrossing impact and profitability. Not to cast aspersion against e-commerce, but yeah, e-commerce to me, although the logistic technology is also trying to solve the issue of mobility, and I'll give an example. There's a project we're working on, and that one is looking at infant and maternal mortalities. I didn't even know how high it was. I was talking to someone a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, right? The guy is Israeli. Yeah, he's a cardiologist. I'm going to discuss that to him, and he wasn't interested. And he said, "What country are you from?" I said, "Nigeria." He said, "Do you know how many babies die during childbirth in Nigeria?" I was like, "Never thought about that." And we did the research. And it was mind-boggling. On the continent of Africa, over 2 million babies die during childbirth every year, and about 250,000 mothers die during childbirth every year. If those numbers are hard to visualize, yeah, just think of the, think of a huge stadium, maybe during Premiership, Arsenal is playing against, I don't know, Chelsea. And you see all those heads, on the average, all those faceless people, massive, that's about 50,000. So imagine five stadiums like that, five stadia that like that, number of women that die every year in Africa during childbirth. 95% of them are preventable if detected early. And
Right.
that really was a wake-up call, So we assembled a team and been working tirelessly. Our first product went to clinical trials last year around November. But building the AI, we then got, I mean, we then had some problems. Data, our hospitals in Nigeria and I think other parts of Africa, they don't store data. They don't have space. In fact, there are some hospitals, if you take an image, if you come back 1 week's time, it's deleted, no space. So we had limited amounts of data. And part of what we did, we had to create AI models to replicate and create artificial data and use that data to train the AI models, to go for testing, And of course, when we got to the hospital, oh my God, things I've never thought about, I'm talking about CTG, cranial circumference, liquor level, placenta position, all the things that doctors know. And we're like, and doctors know, different tests, Doppler, stuff like that, femur length of the baby. And we started doing all that. And all we want to do is very simple: Can a doctor do an ultrasound of a pregnant woman? And if that pregnancy is at risk, whether to the baby or to the mother, it is flagged. How can we get such a system? So, so as we can see, a mixture of so many things, right? On the one hand, you can see streamlining of business process in there. You can see making sense of data so that we can make good decisions. You can now see the importance of domain-specific foundation models. So I like to see instead of a chat GPT, maybe we have like a health GPT, maybe we have like an obstetrics GPT or energy GPT. Because the interesting thing with energy is the modern society in which we have electricity, we have computers, everything is powered by energy. Any country that isn't energy self-sufficient cannot industrialize. End of story. So these are some of all the problems. So just to wrap it up, a lot of companies, they aren't, maybe because they are not going the venture route trying to solve a real problem for society. Anybody who is, right? I just like these fine young men here who want to solve a country's problem. They will get to that point where they will consider using those tools because they want to make sense of data. They want to streamline their processes and then they want to deliver better value to their customers. So a lot of people don't know they need it. A lot of people use it, they don't realize because a lot of the productivity tools that we use, AI is embedded there somewhere making it work. So the landscape is still a little murky. Things are not as clear cut that, okay, you want this, take this. Kind of like, you have malaria, this is your drug, you have a headache, you can take some aspirin. It's not yet clear cut that way, right? But a lot of people are dabbling into it. They are getting the benefits. And the reason I believe we need it in Africa is because of our unique challenges in Africa. And some of these tools can give us some mini superpowers to be able to serve our clients better.
Yeah, and you will have to keep us updated on your product because we forget the number of women who die in childbirth and children who are dying. So we have all of these advancements in AI, but still maternal health is very critical. And their and lack of data, customizable data, like you were saying. Ulubenga, if and then data centers, right? It's just kind of the issue of storage of data. So, and then we get to energy because you need the energy for the data centers to store the data. So it's kind of a circular problem here, right? But I agree. It's those kind of real issues that we'll eventually get to when we can actually have LLMs that are cheap enough to be customizable for kind of the types of issues that still are ongoing around the world, and but we really do have to solve the maternal health issue because it's very critical, like you were saying. So yeah, so please keep us updated in our next roundtable 2026. You'll find the solutions and we'll come back to it, right? So. But yeah, that is, I hope that is the future of AI and energy, is to kind of get down to local issues, real issues that are still, even with all of the advancements in AI, we still have poverty, maternal health, nutrition, all of these issues around the world that have not been solved, right? And so if we can really, it's the usage of data, like you were saying, if we can have customizable data, but then we need the data centers, right? And so it's a kind of a whole area of investment that is opening up because I think lots of people are realizing this. It's the investment in data centers to hold the data, to train the LLMs to be able to provide the customizable data that we need, right? And Nyasha, do you find the same, the need for customizable data for your industry?
Yes, I think Olubanka really spent a lot of time really, putting everything into the correct areas. So, for example, We offer a rent to buy model as well in terms of reaching our customers. We started this last year, and we have managed to do quite a lot in terms of then bringing access to those who cannot afford to pay the high costs of actually going solar. We do collect a lot of information, and we now have a cycle. I think it's almost 12 months now since we started. So we have data that we can now actually use to look at the payment patterns of these customers, which we can then use to also like train our own models to be able to actually create the right customer that we'll target, as well as ensure that we automate some of these processes. So you can imagine if your model is good enough, you'll be able to actually automate the process of getting customers, signing them up, getting the installations done, looking at the sites. So one of the most difficult things I think is to actually do site visits at clients. It's very expensive, but with the use of technology, you are able to actually use Google Earth to look at the customers and to be able to really like go deeper in terms of understanding the roof orientation and so on. So it's a good thing that's happening now. And I think it can only get better as the models become more efficient and easier to run. It's fascinating that I think even Nvidia have launched like a little computer like this size that can actually run an AI. And so it's a matter of time before we actually see this technology becoming mainstream. But I think it will not happen on its own. Like Olubenga said, it's a question of really doing the research, understanding what AI is all about. I think Fidelis even talked about this as well, to say, without you really taking time to understand how everything works and how it fits into your business model, you will not be able to take advantage of some of these technologies that are coming. So I think as CEOs, whether it's a startup or whether it's an existing business, it's important to really invest a lot of resources in learning, in experimenting, in actually trying some of these technologies. What's exciting now is there are some models that you can actually use and train with your own data locally. I think you can actually download some models and be able to. I know the worry a lot of times is about you giving your data out to some of these models, but now you can actually do it on your local computer. It doesn't have to be a powerful computer. I think some of these Llama models you can actually run on a laptop, and be able to actually train your data and come up with the solutions.
And one main question I have for all of you is as we see AI advance at a very rapid rate, I think the question is, what is the role of the CEO, right? And so there is a discussion of one and two people companies that will be able to do really well because they substitute their roles with AI. But it really brings into question if we can automate our business processes at a rate that we've never been able to do before, is the role of the CEO changing in terms of scaling a company, right? If you can automate most of what used to be manual.
So for me, I think the CEO needs to really be at the forefront of embracing the technology. I think the role is changing in as much as yes, you hire the right skills to be able to do things, but if you don't understand that technology yourself, you are not going to really go far. even with hiring the right skills. So I have been able to do a little bit of that myself, as a CEO, to actually go deep into the trenches in terms of trying to actually utilize some of those tools. For example, something that's actually fascinating me now is being able to actually write code, come up with solar calculators using some of these models. Your domain knowledge that Olubanka spoke about becomes even more powerful because you are able to actually use your domain knowledge and actually use tools to actually come up with your solutions using ChatGPT or DeepSeek to code some of the languages that you'd not have learned before. When you put that to someone who's skilled, like maybe a Python programmer, they are able to quickly see where you are going with it, and maybe they are able to actually then come up with the solutions that you are looking for. So it's going to, I think AI is going to actually make us more effective in our roles as CEOs, but it's only going to work if we actually take time to go out there, experiment, and use our domain knowledge to then better lead the people that are going to be working for us in our organizations.
Yes, and I think it'll just make CEOs become better leaders and be able to really utilize AI tools and AI implementation to scale their companies further and faster. And what do you think, Fidelis, in terms of the role of the CEO and the usage of AI tools and AI implementation and the changing role of the CEO?
As Nyasha said, I think the role of the CEO is changing. It's not changing much because mostly it has been decision making, right? But the decision making is now better because there's a lot of data that has been presented in a better way, as opposed to you looking at data and trying to read the AI programs, read the data. That's number one. Number two, you have your processes being done smarter and faster. So the decision-making process that you usually did around whether how you're going to improve processes and stuff like that can be easily done by AI, and you focus on much more things and around with the vision of the company and do you want to scale it up or how you want to scale it up and stuff like that. And that is better served because of AI, and it makes our decision-making process, like I said, much easier. I know there's this tendency around people say that is going around, the trend that's going around, that is going to make us a little bit more lazy. But I think, well, it's that innovation, right? With how we look at the hard problem and we look at how best can we solve it and how best can we solve it faster, right? So if it makes our decision-making process faster, then it allows CEOs to look at other opportunities that they can introduce into the business and make the business sustainable. Because we have a problem in Africa where businesses tend to not survive long, right? Because CEOs were looking at the business 3, 4, 5 years from now, then it died down because they were not innovating. But because some of the tasks have been removed from your plate, you have to look at how best can you keep the business going, or do you need to pivot the business and go another route? And you never know. I lead a solar company. I might be in health tech in the next 3, 4, 5 years, right? Or I might be in agri-tech or something. So it depends on how what AI is telling me or what data is being put in front of me, and seeing also the economies around me, how they are doing. Then AI will tell, predictive analysis, prescriptive analysis. We used to look at data analysts to come and say, Please tell us how it's gonna go in the next 12 months or 15 months, whatever. But right now, I don't need a data analyst to be able to tell me that. I can look at AI. I'm not saying I don't need them, but I'm saying I'm better served now. The cost is less, and the analysis that this program is gonna give me is much more deeper and much more effective. So I think it makes decision making the processes for CEOs much better, and it makes us focus more on what are we going to do. And what Olubenga said, because we are CEOs, probably crisscrossing between impact and profitability, you want to be able to balance that. So if you want to balance that, you don't need to be looking back at your processes, right? If your processes are now working better, then you look at how best can you be profitable at the same time creating impact, so that there's sustainability there. You don't want to be out of business in the next 5 years.
Yes, that is right, because I think as CEOs at the intersection of impact and technology and profitability, I think the usage of AI is very useful because it can actually find it can the gaps and the intersections in it, and it really allows us as CEOs to scale better, faster, and decision making is much more efficient. And have you found the same, Olubanga, in your role, in terms of being a leader and scaling? And have you seen your role changed through the usage of AI?
Okay, I agree with what Ayasha and Fidelis said. That is, the tasks, what a CEO does remains the same, because you have vision, you're aggregating the efforts of people so that you can, aligning the efforts of people so that you can achieve some goal, right? And some of those tasks, there's what it, well, there's what we call internally, that we call the 5 R's of a CEO, the 5 things he should do. Yeah. Which is, so the 5 R's, recruiting talent, reviewing strategy. It's not just about giving vision. It evolves. You keep reviewing it, to give direction. So recruiting talent, reviewing strategy, raising funds, reading, and relaxing. That's it for that. Otherwise, they'll break down. But as but as Fidelis pointed out, the way you do them has changed. Right now, you have to read, you have to stay ahead, you have to review the way you're doing things, to optimize your processes. You have to review strategy, review vision. You have to, type of people you hire nowadays, right? So, for example, we have some of our developers that work for us, and I have never met them. Like, I haven't seen them. I've been working for over a year. Yeah. Maybe I've seen them a couple of times on Zoom calls. They live in Abuja, they live in Lagos. Never met them. In fact, last time I was in Nigeria, I made it a point of duty. Okay, I'm in Abuja. You guys come. Let me see you for the first time. But there are still some two or three that I haven't met, So you can imagine in recruiting talent, you're a little more aggressive because you see the gaps in your businesses. You need this person. And he might be a remote worker, and that's fine. He can't come to the office. He might live in a different country, right? Yeah, it's possible that hey, Fidelis, I heard you talking about this. Can I have a call with the guy? We negotiate terms, reviewing strategy. You have to do that more because, just like you said, Aisha, things are moving fast, right? So the CEO is inundated with information, with this. See competitors, just imagine what is going through the minds of the leadership at OpenAI when this news of DeepSeek came out. I mean, Nvidia lost over 500 billion from their market cap. That is more than the entire GDP of Nigeria overnight. That's crazy. So
We
everybody's
definitely wouldn't want to
scrambling,
be them.
So the modern day CEO, he's more on his toes. He's a little more paranoid. He's reading some more. he's making phone calls. Like I have a friend who actually develops LLMs from the mathematical. I mean, he's just a math genius. Yeah, I'm about to give him a call that I want you to explain DeepSeek to me. What just happened? You see what I mean? So yeah. So the modern day CEO, the tasks, what they do, relatively the same, but the way he works has changed. Like Felix was saying, they said it will make them all lazy. No. Like the work of a modern day CEO has just increased. You have to read more. And then the risks are higher. You can have an upstart, a university spin out that might just come and just upturn your business. Yeah. So things are more intense, actually. Things have doubled down, not easier. And of course, potentially, you can do a whole lot more. So, yeah. So in that sense, yeah. So that is the way I say things have changed for the modern day CEO.
Yes, it's right. Because if we were running a marathon before, now we're really running a marathon. We're running about two or three at the same time. And it's global competition. Like it is shown it's faster, it's global, and we have to pay attention to all sectors, right? Because they're starting to converge in terms of tech and AI and impact, right? They're kind of all intersecting into one field. And so you could have an upstart who's in a different field that intersects with yours that could possibly really be a kind of a player in your field, but they weren't really in your field before, but then they kind of caught up because of AI, right? And so I think that's going to happen more and more in terms of intersecting fields, that you really have to pay attention to the broader business environment, I think, for a modern day CEO, right? And so it's kind of the whoever is the most agile, adaptable is gonna kind of win the race, right? And so it's great. Well, we've had a great conversation, right? I think we could keep on going. This is great. And I think that we're going to see much more progress in terms of AI implementation and LLMs. And if DeepSeek just happened, we can imagine what'll happen a couple of months from now and a year from now. I'm sure we're going to have another roundtable, and we'll be speaking about a whole different topic, right? And it's going to be really, really interesting to see the business landscape and how it changes across sectors. Thank you all very much for this roundtable, and it's been really a pleasure discussing with all of you. I'm always very inspired by what you're all doing, and thanks for being part of our alliance. And we're really doing great things out here, and keeping up with the AI race. And it's going to be really interesting to see. Seeing LLMs become customizable and local, and then see the impact that that can make.
Yeah.
All right, thank you
No,
very
thank you
much.
for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. If you found value in today's conversation, subscribe, share, and be part of the movement towards a more sustainable and inclusive future. Stay connected with us, and remember, impact isn't just an idea, it's a choice we make every day. So let's build the future together. See you next time on the ImpactVest podcast.